together with us?
It is well.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dan. I'm a staff here at Grace Point Church, and we really want to welcome you all to this safe haven of AC on these hot days. I just spent a couple of weeks on Vancouver Island, and it was 30 plus throughout that whole time, so I know how valuable AC is during those times, but we are very happy that you are here to worship with us this morning. If you are a guest here, it's one of your first times here, just in the seat pocket in front of you, there's a connection card. And this is something that we just want to get to know you more, so if you take some time to fill that out and actually bring it back to the Welcome Center in the foyer after the service, we'd love to meet you there and also exchange that connection card for just a yummy treat. So we'd love to meet you there. For those who are part of our family here at Grace Point, if there's any change in address or anything like that, you can note that down. If you do want information from us, please put your email or your phone number, some way to contact you, because we do want to get that information out to you. A couple announcements that I want to highlight for you guys. Our soccer camp is coming up August 10th to 14th. We are looking for some volunteers still for that. Things like being a team coach, so that'll be going along with the kids to the skill stations. You do not need to be good at soccer. You will learn it as you go through that week with the kids. So don't let that be a hindrance, but we would love to have just a great team of people that just love the kids and hang out with them. If the kitchen is more your thing, you can help us in the kitchen, just preparing the snacks and the lunches for the coaches. And also, if you just want to hang out, catch some sun, and just be with kids, you can just even be on the sideline, as sometimes we have kids that get hurt or, you know, homesick or whatever that means. You just need to hang out with someone on the sidelines. If you'd be interested in something like that, let us know. That'd be awesome to have that help. Next week, we are excited to host Bob and Pam Ronglian. They're from an organization called 3DM. And really, in a nutshell, what they believe is they're trying to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And it's really in line with our mission statement here at Grace Point to make more and better Christ followers. And so Bob will be preaching next Sunday here, but we'll also be doing a seminar on Monday at noon. And this will be really a great chance to hear what 3DM is all about, how they make disciples that make disciples. And so if you're interested in coming at noon, we do need you to RSVP by Thursday. There will be lunch included. There's some more information in your bulletin here. But if you can't make it at noon, I know many people work during the week. Also at 7 o'clock, Bob will be sharing a little bit more that evening here in the auditorium. So would love for you to have that opportunity to meet Bob and Pam. I've met them a few times and just really love them and admire them. And so do take that opportunity if you can to make sure you come Sunday, but also check out Monday at noon or at 7 for just some awesome teaching, biblical teaching. And lastly, we had art camp this past week. I know there's a few pieces here that were done by the groups together, just some gorgeous pieces, actually. And we do celebrate this week at the art camp. It was fantastic. We had, I always forget the number, 80 kids, around 80 kids. They had a fantastic time. Christian and non-Christian families, the kids from their families came and heard some great stories on how just simple truths came alive in those kids. Just things like the rainbow and not knowing that God created that rainbow brings God to life to these kids, especially those that have never heard of God before. So thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for all the volunteers that helped. And we do have a little video that highlights a few things from our camp.
Shine, 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 let your light shine, sharing Jesus' love and peace, a light of hope and life. Shine, 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 let your light shine, Jesus said go show the world your light of hope and life. In this world there is trouble, we can't be afraid. We can share our shining light, 'cause Jesus came to save.
Yes, he did.
Shine, 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 let your light shine, sharing Jesus' love and peace, a light of hope and life. Shine, 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 let your light shine, Jesus said go show the world your light of hope and life. Everyone needs Jesus' love, we belong to him. Let us share our shining light and bring good works to all. Shine, 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 let your light shine, sharing Jesus' love and peace, a light of hope and life. Shine, 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 let your light shine, Jesus said go show the world your light of hope and life.
Jesus, love and peace, a light of hope and life.
Shine, 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 let your light shine, Jesus said you'll show the world a light of hope and life. Jesus said you'll show the world a light of hope and life.
Awesome, looks like a lot of fun. At this time, we do want to dismiss the children, age 3 to grade 2. We are on our summer schedule, so those that are older than grade 2, we do have a little pamphlet that you guys can work through during the sermon, and then you get a licorice, I believe, at the end of that. We hope that the kids have a great time this morning. This time, I'd like to bring up Craig and the Haiti missions team, as they would love to just share some great stories of what happened in Haiti.
Awesome. So for many of you, you know, for the last 10 days, we were actually in Mirabelais, Haiti, and we got to actually work with the orphanage that many of you have already heard about, whether it was through a previous team or maybe it was maybe you were excited about what we were doing and you were reading the blog. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a couple of youth to actually share some stories about how they were impacted on the trip. And then I'm going to round it out with a little bit of information of what we did and how you can team up with the orphanage now that we are back. So I'll let Josh start.
Awesome. So one of the days we went to the market, and the guy that went with us, his name is Miyagi, like Karate Kid Miyagi. So we went to Miyagi's house afterwards, and Miyagi's daughter, as soon as we showed up, Miyagi's daughter came and kissed Johanna on the cheek, yeah, and then she kissed Craig, and then she stopped, so whatever that tells you. But so she did that, and we met Miyagi's other son called Petit Miyagi. I don't know what his real name is, but we called him Petit Miyagi. And then Miyagi showed us his house, and we walked a bit of ways, and all it was a couple mounds of dirt. It was around 12. No, there was like 9 mounds of dirt, and then there was just 12 pieces of rebarb sticking up in between the dirt. And I just got there, and I was like, man, like, it's crazy. I was taken back. And you look at Miyagi, and he's just always got the smile on his face. He's He's asking how you're doing, and he's just got us hoping something greater. And it just, he doesn't have his house really, but he was cool with it. He loved God, and I was just blown away by that. So
we also got the pleasure of hanging out with the kids at the orphanage, and that was so amazing. We did a VBS for them, and just watching those kids just listen to our stories and sing our songs with us was just so encouraging. We would sing a bunch of camp songs with them, and they just absolutely loved them. We would come the next day, and they'd be singing them, and it was just so awesome just to see God working in their lives. And honestly, I think we all got a lot more attached than we thought we would, and leaving them was so hard, and it just makes me so sad just knowing that these kids, they don't have a family, and they don't have parents to tuck them in at night or to kiss them goodnight, and it just makes me so sick just to feel that and just know that they don't have that, and they don't have someone to say, oh, congratulations, you lost your first tooth, or anything like that, and that just made me so sad. And honestly, if I would have the money, I would adopt one of them just like that, and they were just so, so beautiful, and yeah, it just made me so thankful to have the family I do and the friends I do, because those kids are so worth it. And if any of you are thinking of adopting, I would honestly go there and adopt them, because they are so beautiful and they are God's children and they need to be loved.
Yeah. And like I said, those are only two. Everyone, I'm sure, had a takeaway and a life-changing experience. And we don't have our video yet, but when we get it, we'll show it. We'll give another update. But I'm just going to – Kayla kind of touched on it, and so did Josh. But what we did was we essentially started the morning until about noon. We did a VBS with the orphanage kids. There was about 10, 12, 15 of them, depending on the day. And what we would do is we would do a song, we'd do a game, we would do a craft, and then we would do a story. And like Kayla was saying, like the passion and the joy in their eyes, if you're not a camp song person, you'd become a camp song person, right? Like, they were fantastic. And in the afternoon, we actually got to go with Shane, who was our field partner down there. Many of you know Shane. He was actually here at Grace Point until they decided to kind of uproot their whole life and go down and devote it completely to the orphanage. And Shane would take us on little field trips. So whether we went to the market or whether we went to Pelto, we got to see the impact we are having. And I got some actually cool time between me and Shane one-on-one where I got to ask him, what is his vision? What is his goal? What is his dream for Mirabelais and for Haiti and for Pelto? And what I'm excited about is how God is already moving and how God is going to continue to move. And one of the greatest things, and I'm not sure how many of you know this, but because of our support, sending teams and sending money, we actually helped Shane and the orphanage give 9,000 people clean water in Pelto and around the orphanage in Mirabelais. And we also helped support a nurse who was going out. And one of the stories that Shane shared with me and really hit me, and I want to share with you, is when Shane first got there and he was kind of going around and he was in Pelto, he actually went to a family or with a nurse, and they went and they saw this lady standing in a field, and this lady was holding a lifeless child. And he went over and he's like, I'm curious what's going on. So he went with the nurse and he asked the nurse, how's this child doing? And the nurse said, within the next couple of days, this child will die. And Shane said, so what do we need? Like, his first question, it wasn't that's too bad, you know, take a picture and leave. It was, what do we need to do? So the nurse said, we need baby formula. And Shane's like, okay, can we get baby formula? Yep. Is it close? Yep. Is it going to be expensive? It'll cost $8. And he said, $8? So it's close and we can do this. And they're like, yep. He's like, so why are we not doing this? So they went and they got the baby formula. And they brought the baby formula back. And they gave it to the child. And with 2 days, the child was running around, just a brand new child. And within the next couple days, he came back a week later and he found out that that child had actually died. Because there wasn't someone who was going around making sure that this child was getting fluids. And the child actually got a bad case of diarrhea and passed away. And it's moments like these where Shane's like, no, this is critical. And I want to encourage you. He told me something else, and he said, for them to run the orphanage and for them to be able to continue to do what they do, they need 262 sponsorships. And I thought about that, and I'm like, you know what, chances are, I'm not sure how many are here today, but if for every two people we sponsored a child, Grace Point could literally make a change. And one thing that I share with the youth leaders is the idea of, although you can't change everybody's life, and as we look and we want to think about making a world impact, Although we can't completely change the world, we have an opportunity to change one place within the world. And if everyone in the world did that, well, everyone who was living in abundance did that, the world would be changed, because you impact the place, and then the place continues to impact those around them. And I love that. And one of the greatest things that Shane does and the orphanage does is they don't go in as the white man trying to change the world. They actually partner with the local church. And chances are a lot of the people don't even realize that Shane is the one doing it. They team up with the pastor. They team up with the pastor, and the pastor does it. And I was impacted because one thing that really hit me, and I was with Josh in the market. Well, I was with all of them. We were all at the market. But halfway through the market, I'm not a food guy. I'm not a smells guy. I have a very weak stomach. So we're going through the market. It's close quarters. And it started out really nice and wide. They're like, it's going to get really, really awkward and tight. And I'm like, I don't do awkward and tight. I'm a claustrophobe. It started out nice and wide. And I'm like, I can do this. All of a sudden, it starts narrowing. I'm like, so when do we hit the cave? Right? No, I'm just kidding. There's no cave. But we're going through the market. And it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And we get to the pond. And in the pond, or well, not the pond, it was more of a river. And we stop and we look, and I was just kind of surveying what was going on. And I look, one man is bathing, another man is cleaning a goat. Down the river, a cow is pooping. And then I look a little bit farther down the river, and a woman is grabbing drinking water with a bucket from the same river. And because of what we are doing and the wells that are being drilled, 9,000 people have clean water. And exactly, praise God. And we went to the church, and the church is passionate. They didn't even have instruments. They just did it vocally, and we didn't understand what they were singing. You know, like, we're hoping it was Christian. Just kidding, we knew it was Christian. But the passion was exciting. There was no one just sitting down in their seat and kind of doing the mandatory Sunday morning. Everyone was excited about what God was doing. Everyone was there because God is moving in Haiti. And because the team got to go down, they got to see it firsthand. And I'm just going to finish off with this because I think my 6 minutes are up. But but in one of my blogs, it says, the quote that I thought was really impactful was, in order to have an impact, we must first be impacted. And one of the first people I told when I got back to Canada about our trip was, Craig, I love your passion and I'm excited for what you're going to do. And I hope that you get people to support and continue to support the orphanage and Shane. But the reality is it's out of sight, out of mind. And your stories will come. They'll impact them for maybe a week. And this is a real conversation. And I had to bite my tongue. But they said, out of sight, out of mind. And I pray that as you talk with these youth, because I want you to talk with these youth, because they're the ones who were on the field. But I pray that you are impacted. And in turn, you also want to make an impact. Because although you don't see it every day and you don't hear about it because Haiti doesn't make the news, but there are just atrocious things. I came back and ridiculous, the things that are on the radio. But Haiti, God is moving. And Haiti is an opportunity for us to team up with God and have an impact. And as you get to see our video, we had a lot of great times. But I pray that you hear their stories and you hear what God is doing. And you are moved to continue moving. And I pray with my whole heart. Because I was never, it's funny, I have a wife who grew up in a missionary family. And, you know, I can, as a North American, I'm like, that's cool. You know, great stories, right? Like, I'm dating your daughter. I'm in it to win it, right? Like, but now... Now that I've been on the mission field, I know how important it is to support, one, our missionary, and two, the mission that they are on. And so if you want more information, you want to get connected, you want to figure out a way, maybe you want to adopt a child, maybe you want to sponsor a child for $40 a month. I feel like I'm working for World Vision. I get no commission. But every dollar that you give goes straight to the orphanage, which is fantastic because we have that relationship. So if you want more information, come talk to me. If you want to hear how God is impacting Haiti and these youth, talk to them. But I pray that you don't just hear our stories and go home untouched. So God is good. Amen. Amen. Passion Church. Yeah, amen, right? Like, it's exciting. So, yeah, thank you, and continue to pray for us as a team as we re-enter North America. So.
I'm not sure how to segue to my sermon from that one. There has been some incredible things happening through Grace Point throughout this week and through the youth team that went to Haiti. I just celebrate what went on there. I'm in regular contact with Shane, and he's just been so blessed by the team out there. Is there something I need to do? This is not on. What's pointing the other way?
Am I supposed to?
Whoa. Is that better? Okay. I don't want to touch it anymore. That was scary. So just with the team, an incredible experience that they had. Shane was so blessed out there, as well as our friend Brian and Steve out there. And of course, the children are just so excited anytime somebody comes. And so as Grace Point, we have a long-term, a special relationship with the orphanage in Haiti. And I'm not sure if Craig mentioned, but HCAS is the organization we work with, Haitian Children's Aid Society. We have a partnership with them as a church. And so if you would like to sponsor a child, you can go to their website, hcas.org or .ca, something like that. And you can sponsor a child through that website. And Craig said, all the funds go there. I also celebrate the art camp that happened this week. Pastor Luann gave me a tour. I was on holidays for a bit and came back. Pastor Luann said, hey, you want to see what's going on? So I went and did a tour. And literally, like, most of the church was being used by the art camp. It takes a lot of space to run an art camp. Like, the gym was full of stuff. Every classroom, every room in the children's wing was being used. It was absolutely incredible. And just the organization, the volunteerism that it took to be able to do that camp. And, I mean, look at the incredible artwork. This is just one of the things that the kids did through the artwork, as well as just hearing the gospel and hearing. And there were just stories of families from that sent their kids here, knowing it's a church, knowing they're going to hear the gospel. But their family has a different faith. And so these kids of a different faith in the community hear the gospel. It's just absolutely incredible. And so I celebrate what God is doing through our children's ministry, our youth ministry. We've got camps coming up. We've got soccer camp. It's just, wow, this place is buzzing with the work of God. And so I just celebrate that. We're talking about building a solid foundation this week. And we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is just an absolutely incredible part of the Gospel of Matthew. And we spent quite a few weeks on that, because in my Bible, I've got the red letter edition, and it's like 3.5 pages of red letters. And I think if it's in red, it's kind of important in the Bible, right? If you got a red letter Bible. And so it's like 3.5 pages of red letters that are important to pay attention to. And Jesus talks about all sorts of things in this sermon that he gave. He talks about the Beatitudes, salt and light, fulfillment of the law. He talks about different things like murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for an eye, love for enemies, giving to the needy. He talks about prayer. He talks about fasting, treasures in heaven. He talks about don't worry about things. I've got this covered. He talks about judging others. He talks about asking and seeking and knocking and seeking God. He talks about the narrow and the wide gates, true and false prophets, true and false disciples, and also the wise and the foolish builders. Now, we skipped over a couple pieces of scripture, and we're going to get to those in a little bit, true and false prophets as well as true and false disciples. And we're going to skip down to the wise and foolish builders, because I think it's important for us to talk about having a solid foundation in our faith before we talk about how to discover if there's true and false prophets and true and false disciples. But it's amazing at that last verse, or the last couple of verses of this chapter, where it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. It just kind of struck me as I was preparing for this sermon at those very last verses. They were amazed at his teaching. You see, when I read the Bible, am I amazed at what the Bible teaches me? When I hear somebody talk about and interpret scripture, and am I amazed? Am I astonished at what I'm being taught, at what I'm learning? Am I amazed at what God can tell me and teach me and reveal to me in my life? I think it's important to pay attention to that. It's important to understand that what God has to say to us is absolutely amazing and astonishing and worth paying attention to and worth studying and unpacking and understanding so that we could know how to build our lives on a solid foundation. The people were astonished. I hope that when you read scripture, that every once in a while, or maybe every time you read scripture, that you seek to be amazed and astonished at what God wants to teach you. I want to unpack that whole concept of building on a solid foundation for a little bit. When you look around Edmonton, you see construction. I'm not just talking about road construction that annoys us in traffic, but I'm talking about construction that there are buildings, there are houses, there are office towers going up absolutely everywhere. And even an arena is being built in Edmonton downtown, which is crazy looking. There's not a right angle on that thing. But there are buildings everywhere. And sometimes we see these buildings and we see them change a little bit, or we're like, wow, that's taking a really long time or whatever. And we take for granted that if there's a lot of detail that goes into building a building, particularly when it comes to the design, as well as especially when it comes to the foundation. Because each one of these buildings that are built need a solid foundation. I grew up in a construction family. And one of the parts that I hated doing in construction was the foundation, because you've got these forms that are 4 feet by 8 feet, sheets of really thick plywood that are soaked in oil. And so they're dirty and they're disgusting and they smell funky and they're really, really heavy. And I hated when we had to do a foundation because you'd have to carry these things and it's dirty work and it's awful. And it's just all heavy work. And then finally you pour the concrete and then you leave it and then you have to take these forms off. And it's like it's really hard, hard work. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's hard work. And it's one of those things where if you don't take the time to do that properly, you're not going to have a solid foundation for your home, for your building, for your office tower, for your condominium to be able to stand on. You see, a solid foundation, first of all, requires depth. It requires depth. You see, in Alberta, we have this code where you have to go a certain depth into the ground with your solid foundation. In Alberta, our frost line is 4 feet deep. So you have to go deeper than 4 feet deep, or 4 feet or deeper. Because if you don't, then the frost is going to heave all the dirt and stuff around it and move your foundation, and it's going to crack and it's going to crumble and it's not going to be a solid foundation to be on. And so you need to go to a certain depth into the ground and find solid ground to be able to put your footings on so that you can have a solid foundation. And so I think that our faith as well needs a certain amount of depth to be able to withstand storms and to be able to have a solid foundation of faith within our lives. And we also need a solid ground to be on. You notice that if you look at a new development, they'll do things like they'll scrape a bunch of dirt off, and then they have these earth movers that go back and forth, all day, for days at a time. And then they'll put another layer of dirt on, and then they'll go back and forth and back and forth. And it looks like the most mind-numbing job in the world to drive one of these excavators to go back and forth. But what they're doing is they're providing a solid ground to be able to build a new development of houses on. Because what you need is that you can't just dig a hole, put cement down. You need ground that is not disturbed, ground that has been packed and packed and packed. And so that it's solid, so that even though it's deep into the ground, that it won't sink, that it won't move, and that it'll be solid ground to be able to be on. You also need reinforcement. You need a footing underneath the foundation, a footing that goes right on the ground, and then you need the foundation built up from there. And it's just so that everything is solid, everything is just plumb and straight and all that kind of stuff. And so you can build that up. But the thing is, it's all built out of cement, right? And you need reinforcement within the cement. And it's interesting that, cement is something that it's not just a bunch of sand and gravel with some other stuff mixed in it, and it dries and it gets hard. But there's actually a chemical reaction that, happens to be able to make that to a certain strength. And they'll actually even put fibers in it to be able to strengthen it. You also need to reinforce it with some rebar, which is like rods of metal, to be able to reinforce it so that if there is any sort of movement or, surface cracking and all that kind of stuff, it just holds together and it won't fall apart. And, the whole cement and concrete science is a very complex area of science in the chemical reaction. And I thought, you know what, maybe I'll look into this and see if I can relay this information to you. And I read it for a little while and I'm like, man, this stuff is boring. And so I thought, well, I'll just talk about how it's a chemical reaction, because I don't really want to get into the technical stuff, because I know that we have a lot of technical people and engineers who probably know this stuff way better than I do. And whatever information I give will be scrutinized, and I don't like to be scrutinized that much. And I don't like to be wrong and give wrong information. So I'm just going to say it's a chemical reaction that solidifies concrete. It's not just evaporation, but it's actually a chemical reaction. And it's really cool to watch it. It's not cool when it dries too quickly when you're trying to trowel it. But it's really cool to watch how it goes from a liquid form and it just solidifies. And it's so hard, and it hardens even more after time with that chemical reaction. But when it comes to our faith, how deep, how solid, how reinforced is your foundation built on? As a pastor, I've had the honor and the privilege and the burden of journeying with people through some of the hardest times that you can ever think of. Stories that would break your heart. Journeyed with people who were losing their own life. Journeyed with people who are losing loved ones. With people who are losing jobs. Losing families and relationships. You think about it, in any loss, it would break your heart. And I've watched as some people who have that solid foundation in their life, and I watch them go through these hard times, and I journey with them as much as I can. And for some of them, their faith is so solid that they have built up over the years, and they have dug deep, and they've reinforced, and they've put solid ground underneath them. And their faith stands the test of that time. And even though it's heart-wrenching to see, it's encouraging to see. And it causes me to ask the question, if I were to face that hard time that they are facing, how solid would my faith be? And I think that's an important question for us to ask ourselves, or even to ask each other. How solid is your faith? Will your faith stand the test of time? And I think that probably we're here because we want to develop a faith that will stand trials, that will go through those hard times and still be able to come out the other side and say, God is good. I had a conversation with a friend from Haiti who has seen so much tragedy and death and trauma in his life that he can no longer sleep through the night. He sleeps a few hours at a time, then he has to get up and go for a walk or go visit a friend or whatever. And he's just seen so much trauma. And his depth of faith is just amazing. The way he praises God, the way he prays. One of the first things he asked me the second time I saw him on the second trip I went there, he said, Pastor, how much time do you spend in prayer a day? And I wasn't sure how to answer that. I said, not enough. But then I sleep at night and he doesn't. So he has more time to pray. No, I'm just kidding. No. But anyway, I was just amazed at his depth of faith. So I commented to him. I said, you know, I really admire your depth of faith and your commitment to God through all that you've been through, all that you've seen. And his response to me was very interesting. He said, Dave, my faith is my faith because for many of us, it's all we have. It's all we have. Because everywhere we turn is tragedy, is loss, is hardship. And our faith is sometimes all we have. And it was such an example to me and very humbling to me to hear that when everything is gone, when poverty and destruction, desperation abounds, that we have a choice, that we can either turn our back on God and nothing will change, or we can call out to God and he might do something to help our situation. But at least we will have peace in knowing that God is there and that God is good, even in the midst of the hardship. You see, life right now may be going well. It may be going at least manageable for us. Maybe we haven't really endured many hardships in our lives. Maybe we've had a lot of hardships. Maybe our whole life seems like a hardship. But the thing is, how will our faith endure that hardship? Because some of us, if we think that we've never had a hardship in our life, maybe we're avoiding it. Maybe we're ignoring the hardships that we do have. But when we do have a hardship in our life, do we turn to God? Do we say, God, I just need some help here. I need you to guide me through this. I need you to give me peace in the midst of this storm. That's what it means to have a solid foundation in life. This a week ago Saturday was July 4th, I believe. And my family and I went down to Lethbridge to go to a family reunion, which I'm always a little apprehensive about, right? I mean, you share a bloodline with these people, but you don't really know them. And you can at least pretend to like them for 4 hours, right? no, really, I do love most of those people. All of them. I love all those people, but I hardly know some of them, right? And there's a lot of history with them, and even some of us look alike, even. We decided to go there, one of the things that kind of struck me there was we started the time, like we had a little time of visiting and all that kind of stuff, catching up, and there are literally people there that I hadn't seen in decades, and people there that I had no idea who they were. I think they just crashed our party, but they seemed comfortable doing it. We visited at this picnic shelter, and we started our time with a word of scripture shared by one of my uncles. It was just a psalm, and then we had a prayer for the meal, and then we ate. And it was a great time of visiting and eating. And then following that, we had another time of scripture and some prayer, and then we sang a couple hymns. And the significance of that time and those things, that the scripture, the hymns, and they were sung horribly. It was a cappella and nobody sings on key, but it was beautiful at the same time. And it was worship, more noise, but worship as well. July 4th is my grandma, my oma's birthday. Now, my oma has died like, 12 years ago. But every once in a while on July 4th, we get together to celebrate her. And the thing is that the scripture that was read, the prayer that was given up, the hymns that were sung were all significant to Oma. And what it dawned on me was that my Oma built a solid foundation of faith. Now, my Oma was widowed in her 40s, never remarried, raised 5 crazy kids, lived an impoverished, humble life, but built a solid foundation for her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, her great-great-grandchildren. And not all of them are following Jesus. But because of my Oma's faith, one of her grandchildren is a pastor. And many of them are following Jesus. Friends, that's what a solid foundation of faith and faithfulness can do for generations in your family to come. And I hope that at some point that I'll be able to look back and to be able to say that was a foundation that was built upon Jesus Christ. A legacy of faith that was passed down from generation to generation. But why is a solid foundation so important in our lives? Why is it so important? Other than just living our lives faithful to Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, Jesus talks about this. He said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." See, there's a testing that happens here, and a testing that we need to understand of how to test a true and a false prophet, which is done by building a solid foundation in our lives. Because you see, we are in a generation now where there are so many different mediums and messages within our lives just at the touch of a button from our phones. Our phones can give us more information than any computer or any resource that has ever been existed up until now. And it's one of those things where, I have some friends, and we talk about how Google, you know, the search engine Google, I'm assuming you know what that is. I hope you do, because this is not going to make sense to you. But Google, which is a search engine where you can find just about any information you can think of, and there's other search engines, but Google's the most common one, how Google has ruined a lot of good conversations. Now think about it. I mean, before, if you were sitting around with a bunch of guys and talking about the principles and the chemical components of concrete, right? And all of you are just kind of making it up as you go along, but having a great conversation and argument about the chemical composition of concrete, and one of you pulls your phone out and Googles it, that's the end of your conversation right there, right? Because some scientist has put on some website the chemical composition, which is the true composition, and you're like, well, okay, well now what are we going to talk about, right? It's ruined a lot of good conversations. But the thing is, there's so much information out there, and it doesn't just ruin conversations, but it can ruin our understanding of truth, can't it? And we need to figure out how to test and how to discern and how to sift through all that information and figure out what is important for me to actually retain here. What is important for me to process and to understand and to live by? And some of it you can find on the internet, but when it comes down to it, all of it is right here, isn't it? And it's not that any other information doesn't have value. It does have value. But when it comes to the foundation of our faith in life, when it comes down to sifting through the false prophets and false teachers, we come back to the scriptures and understand this is truth. And everything else is tested by it. We also need to have a solid foundation for discernment. To discern between what's right and what's wrong, what's biblical truth and what isn't. A solid foundation of faith helps us to know that when a false prophet comes, when somebody who has this message that tickles the ears a little bit and tells us something that we want to hear, or tells us something that is really good news, and it almost seems like news that is too good to be true. Well, in all my years, and I'm not that old, but in all my years, what I understand is the only message that sounds too good to be true, but actually is true, is the gospel. Is the story of Jesus, who is God, coming down to the earth to save us from our sins. Sounds too good to be true, right? But it is true. And that's the only message out there that not only sounds too good to be true, but is true. And everything else, from what I've understood and experienced, if it sounds too good to be true, other than the gospel, it probably isn't. It probably isn't. We need to have discernment. And also, building a solid foundation helps us to seek justice within the world. And I'm not talking about judgment. I'm talking about justice. Because when you look around in the world, when you look around and you read the news, or you watch the news, or you search the news, there's injustices all over the world. And it can be overwhelming at times. You think, where do I start with this injustice that's happening around me? And with a solid foundation, we begin to understand that, yes, there are so many different causes that we can be a part of. But what is something that I can actually do to be able to live out my faith, to seek justice in situations? We just heard about how our youth are passionate about justice for orphans, justice for people who don't have clean drinking water in Haiti. That's God leading us in that solid foundation of faith to be able to understand where He's leading us and how He wants us to respond, not to everything necessarily, but to what's in front of us. Where is God leading you towards justice and action towards it? Jesus also talks about true and false disciples. This one's a little bit scary. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and in your name and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is kind of a scary passage when you're a Christian, isn't it? Because you think, man, I call on God. I call him Lord. You know, I've done some things that are, you know, I believe that God used his power to be able to help me to do it. And yet I may not be saved. This kind of rattles us a little bit, doesn't it? But doesn't it help us to seek a deeper, more solid foundation with our lives? To be able to say, Lord, Lord, and mean it. To be able to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want to serve you. I want you to know that I love you. I want to deepen my walk with you. Building a solid foundation requires that we live our lives being aware, pursuing that solid foundation, deepening the roots, getting on solid ground with our faith, reinforcing it with scripture, with prayer, with community, to be able to stand our ground. Paul talks about standing ground and being strong in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Then in Ephesians 6, he's talking about the armor of God. I don't know if you've heard that about the armor of God, but he says this, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to be able to stand. You think about standing your ground, having that solid foundation, being ready for anything that comes your way, and having that faith to be able to withstand the storm, to withstand the fight, the battle. Solid foundation requires determination. Having a solid foundation is not quick. It's not easy. It's hard work. Ask anyone in construction. It's hard work to build a strong foundation. It takes determination, discipline, dedication to God. By being in His Word, surrounding yourself with godly counsel is so important as well to develop your Christian character and continual development of your relationship with God. And finally, endurance. We need endurance in our faith in building a solid foundation. You see, life and our faith is not about some kind of 100-yard dash or a sprint. It's a marathon, and it's a really, really long marathon. And with a marathon, you need to have a steady pace. And if you start right out on the start line and you're just running full tilt, you're going to run out of steam. And you see, our faith so many times is this ups and downs and peaks and valleys, peaks and valleys. And it's those peaks that help us get through the valleys. And that's pretty much a natural part of our lives, isn't it, in our faith? That we go through struggles, we go through times where we're just trying to figure out how to say a prayer. And other times we're like praising Jesus in the grocery store and people are getting freaked out. But the thing is, our faith can also be somewhat like this, where it just keeps building and growing. And it's more of a steady growth. There's no rush to be able to figure everything out and have all the answers. Because as soon as you figure out you think you've got all the answers, you'll have more questions. Guarantee you. But our faith is more like an endurance, to set the pace, to have discipline, to exercise our faith. In Philippians 3, it's my favorite passage of Scripture, where Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. How solid is the foundation of your faith? Will it stand the test and the trials that you will go through in your life? Are you listening to the words of Jesus in your life and being like the wise builder who built on solid ground, who built on the rock? Or are you on shaky ground that won't stand the test of time? Will you listen to Jesus and deepen your faith and build it on that solid foundation? Let's just pause for a word of prayer right now. And I just want us to not just hear the words of Jesus, but to take some action. And as we're just pausing and our eyes are closed and our heads bowed, just to ask God, God, what are two things that I can do to make my faith more solid? God, we have we've gathered as people who come from all different walks of life. And each of us has a story of faith or a journey towards faith. Some of us are resisting faith in you. And Lord, I pray that the words of Jesus today of building on the solid foundation, Lord, that we would take those to heart, that our faith would be able to stand the tests and trials that will come our way, that there would be no fear in our hearts because you are there. There would be no darkness because your light shines. Lord, for some of us to build a more solid faith, it may be getting committed to reading your word, committed to praying, committed to spending more time with godly counsel. It may be giving up something so that we can be with you. But God, I pray that you would help us to deepen our walk with you, to build our faith on a solid foundation so that, Lord, our faith would be unshakable.
As the band is just coming up, we're going to sing a song just to declare that we would love to put our trust and our hope on the only foundation that really lasts. So I'm going to ask you if you'd stand together. You might not be really, you know, fully believing it in your heart. You might be having areas of your life that you are struggling with trust or the faith that you need to do this. So my prayer is that as we sing it, even if you're struggling to sing the words, your faith will rise, and that the trust in God as your cornerstone will be built up in your heart this morning. Let's sing together.
High and stormy gale. come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I end in Him be found, and dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's blood. The storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Our prayer is that would be true for us, that we would lean on Christ, the cornerstone within our lives, that through whatever we are going through, that He is our cornerstone and our faith will stand firm in whatever trial that comes. If you would like prayer for anything, we'll have the prayer team that will meet just over here in the front row. And you can spend some time in prayer with them. That's what they love to do. And it's all in confidence. And they would just love to pray with you and journey with you through whatever you're going through. It could be something great. It could be something of a challenge. But I encourage you to be able to do that. We have just a few more minutes. Well, one more minute until the kids are let go at noon. And so don't forget to pick up your kids. And also there's going to be some coffee that you can grab a cup of coffee and visit as long as you like. God bless you as you go.